As we have for the past few years on this day, the day after Thanksgiving, we will celebrate the National Day of Listening. And we'll talk with you about the significance of collecting stories of the people that we know and love. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, November 29th. Our guest will help get us inspired to sit down with our friends and families that are around over the holidays and ask them questions. Ask them questions that we have always wanted to ask. And if we haven't thought about those questions, what we would want to ask, we'll get some ideas on how to get these conversations started. Do you have a story from your life or a loved one's life that you would like to record for posterity? Maybe you can share it with us today. 1-800-642-1234. Who would you like to interview from your circle of friends and family, and why? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is David Isay. He is the founder of StoryCorps, which is an ongoing oral history project behind the National Day of Listening effort. He is also the author of The Ties That Bind, Stories of Love and Gratitude from the First 10 Years of StoryCorps. Good morning and happy anniversary.
Thanks, Joy. It's great to talk to you.
It's good to have you back on the show.
Yeah,
I know you talked...
Always. It's a tradition.
Yeah, it is. This has become our day after Thanksgiving tradition. We'll talk a little bit more about just what the National Day of Listening is all about. But since you are the author of this new book, The Ties That Bind, and I know that I think you were on with our show Central Time a while back to talk about that. Mm-hmm. We are airing your special tonight. At 6 o'clock, people can celebrate the first decade of StoryCorps with a special retrospective. It's going to be tonight at 6 o'clock here on the Ideas Network. It's going to be hosted by you, our guest, Dave Isay, and NPR's Scott Simon. So what's this special all about?
You know, Scott, who's a great friend of StoryCorps and a great friend personally and just a wonderful host, as you know, and I sit down to talk about our 10th anniversary, which is right now. We launched in New York City 10 years ago, and 10 years later, we've recorded about more than 50,000 stories with about 100,000 people, because as you know, people come in pairs through StoryCorps. So we just go through the history of StoryCorps and play some stories and talk about what StoryCorps is all about, not so different than what we do every year, minus the phone calls.
Right. And, well, what is StoryCorps all about?
Well, StoryCorps is all about listening. And, you know, it's funny. One of my favorite parts of this day is doing the phone calls from folks on Wisconsin Public Radio who call in. And I actually have a kind of a theme for this year that I'd love people to think about, which gets to the core of StoryCorps. And this is kind of the theme of our book. You know, StoryCorps is two people who come together to interview one another for 40 minutes with the help of a trained facilitator. That's the standard StoryCorps, the one that we've done the 50,000 interviews with. And, you know, now StoryCorps, we can't nearly meet the demand of people who want to participate. So when we pull into town, we'll often have waiting lists of hundreds, if not thousands, of people within a couple minutes after we open up reservations. So our 10th anniversary book kind of gets to the core of what StoryCorps is, which is people interviewing or remembering that person in their life who they feel most grateful to, which is actually a very nice Thanksgiving tie-in. You know, the people who've been there for us during our toughest times, the people who rescued us. And that I would love to have be the call-in for today. If folks can think about one person, if they could bring one person to the booth from their life or remember one person who was there for them in an extraordinary way, who would that be, and why would you bring them to StoryCorps?
What a wonderful idea. So 1-800-642-1234. Who do you feel the most grateful for today? Who is that person that you would want to interview, who you would want to bring to the StoryCorps booth?
Somebody. And what would you ask them, and what would you say to them?
Yeah. What would you ask? So that's. I'm going to think about that. That's
good.
Very thought provoking, and there's probably more than one person that that I feel grateful for. You have to say, who do you feel most grateful for? but so the National Day of Listening. This is now 5 years old, right?
I think so. Yeah, 5, 4, 5, something like that. Yep.
And what is the mission of the National Day of Listening?
So, I mean, getting back to your question of what StoryCorps is all about, you know, StoryCorps, as you know, as listeners know from hearing on Friday morning and maybe seeing some more animations, we actually have an animation special, which we just put online this morning, which is a celebration of the first 10 years of StoryCorps, where you can actually see me animated. And little did I know I look so much like Fred Flintstone. but, you know, StoryCorps is about, first of all, it's about listening. It's about recognizing the poetry and the grace and the wisdom and the beauty and the stories all around us when we take the time to listen. And you know, folks from listening to StoryCorps stories or reading these books know that, you know, these are the stories of our friends, our neighbors, our grandparents that are just so remarkable and inspiring and moving and full of grace and courage. And there are these stories that are just hidden in plain sight all around us that we don't take time to listen to. So as I said, we don't have the capacity to do as many StoryCorps stories nearly as folks want to record through the standard StoryCorps process. So we created the National Day of Listening 4 or 5 years ago to tell people on, and we just chose Black Friday because it seemed appropriate. Mm-hmm. But you can do this on any day. To take an hour out and record a loved one or do that recording that we're talking about now, find that person who meant the most, you go track down that teacher from many years ago or whoever it was, and interview them for an hour. It doesn't have to be an hour. It could be 15 minutes, 20 minutes. The important thing is having this conversation. On our website, I bet this is on linked from, Joy, your site on the WCR
yes.
Website. We have a site called nationaldayoflistening.org, which gives you instructions on how to do this. And, you know, since we started talking 5 years ago, technology's changed so much. You know, I don't think that people had the technology at their fingertips nearly to the extent that they do today to do these recordings. So, you know, I think the vast majority of your listeners probably have a mobile device or a computer at home that they can use to record an interview. And you want to just pick a quiet place. Ask a person if they would talk to you and go into that room, turn off the TV, turn off music, and just sit with someone and ask those questions you want to ask. Many people on our website, we have the suggested questions, the most popular questions from the 50,000 interviews of StoryCorps, like, how do you want to be remembered? What are the most important lessons you've learned in life? But, you know, what you really want to do is just take the time to thank someone. I mean, this gets to the core of StoryCorps. I mean, my belief in starting this, which I believe so much more strongly today, 10 years later, is that, you know, sitting with someone who matters to you and asking them these questions, listening to them, tells people that they matter and tells them that they won't be forgotten, which is so core to what all of us want to know. So the trick is you just want to do this.
And why is it important to record it rather than just have that conversation?
You know, first of all, the important thing is just doing it. And if you can't record it, you can't record it. I mean, I think that there's something about the act of recording that makes it feel more permanent. It's more for the kind of future impact of this thing. Now, unfortunately, we at StoryCorps can't accept the recordings into our archive at the Library of Congress because of strictures on release forms and the quality of interviews and so forth. But it's very easy now to make sure that a recording lives on for, you know, for many, many years. And you know, when that loved one or the teacher or whoever it is that you've interviewed is gone, it's really important to have that record of that person's voice. I mean, I think I talked last year when I talked to you, I had just lost my father.
Right.
And I don't even know if I talked about it at that point, but I had been lucky enough to do a StoryCorps interview with him, you know, a bunch of years before he died. He died very, very suddenly. He was healthy one day and dead, you know, 8 days later of cancer, or we thought he was healthy.
Yeah.
And, you know, listening to that interview on the night that he died at 3 a.m. was, you know, of course, the first time I'd listened to it. And, you know, I realized that this is how my two little kids who will not remember my dad are going to get to know him. And their kids and their kids and their kids. So, you know, that you just want to do these interviews. If you don't have a recording device, you can use a pencil and paper. But a recording does make it, I think, kind of more special, and it allows you to explain to the person who you're interviewing, this is not for me, this is not for you, this is for people in the future who are going to want to hear this if they feel uncomfortable doing the interview.
We are talking about the National Day of Listening. And your homework for today or for the weekend or any time throughout the holidays is to ask a loved one some questions. Listen to what they have to say and record it. We are talking about the importance of collecting these stories of the people we love, the people we know, how we can do this so it is memorable and significant, and we're welcoming your calls. Who would you like to interview, and why? Our guest, David Isay, is suggesting, who is it that you are most grateful to, that you would like to give a shout-out on the air this morning? What questions would you ask that person that you are grateful to? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio on this National Day of Listening. We are talking with David Isay, who is the founder of StoryCorps, which is a oral history project that is behind the National Day of Listening effort. We're talking about who we would like to interview and why. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And given that it's Thanksgiving, who are you most grateful for? What would you like to ask that person as we talk about listening and recording these stories, collecting these stories? Let's play an example. We do have some callers, but I wanted to play an example of a StoryCorps story that I think what I have here, this one really touched me. This is Dr. William Lynn Weaver telling a story about his father helping him with his algebra homework. And we don't have the whole story here, but an excerpt.
You know, I always tell you that your mama is the smartest person I've ever met. But I think my father ranks right up there as brilliant. When I was in high school, I was taking algebra, and I was sitting at the kitchen table trying to do my homework. And I got frustrated and said, I just can't figure this out. So my father said, what's the problem? He came by. He said, what's the problem? And I said, that's just algebra. And he said, well, let me look at it. I said, Dad, they didn't even have algebra in your day. And I went to sleep. And around 4 o'clock that morning, he woke me up. He said, come on, son, get up. He set me at the kitchen table, and he taught me algebra. What he had done is sit up all night and read the algebra book, and then he explained the problems to me so I could do them and understand them. And to this day, I live my life trying to be half the man my father was, just half the man.
Ooh, I'm crying.
Well, you know, that's actually sort of the centerpiece story of our new book. And, you know, Lynn's talking about his dad, who's a guy whose name was Ted Weaver. Ted Weaver was a janitor and a chauffeur in Knoxville, Tennessee. And as Lynn will say and shout from the mountaintops, the most important, most brilliant, most decent human being he'd ever met. Lynn, when he did this interview, was chairman of surgery at Morehouse School of Medicine. And to me, his dad, Ted, who was the janitor and chauffeur who did everything for his kids and stayed up all night learning algebra, he is the quintessential American hero, and he is the kind of person we should be holding up to our kids as an example of decency and heart and brilliance and who they can and should grow up to be. You know, there's a story in this book that Lynn also tells. Lynn grew up in the 60s. And he tells the story of integrating the schools in Knoxville. And he was, him and his brother were the two African-Americans on an all-white football team in Knoxville. And he tells the story of going to a away game on that first year when they integrated the schools, which was a very, very difficult year for him. And there was they were playing an all-white team, and the stands were full of the families of the two of the away team, and they were not happy about Lynn and his brother being there. But Lynn and his brother, during one play, hit a one of the players, tackled him, and he got injured. And a riot started, and they watched. Lynn remembers watching the stands just empty, and he and his brother backed up across the football field, and were backed up against a fence, which was at the back end of the football field. And he saw these folks coming towards them, ready to, you know, rip them apart. And Lynn remembers that he looked behind him, and he saw his dad, and he tapped his brother on his shoulder, and he said, "Dad's here. We're safe." You know, and they were. You know, so. So, yeah, these are the stories of StoryCorps and the stories we have told and will continue to tell as long as we can.
But I love this because it's also a man reflecting on his father and what a profound story about just a father helping him with homework and a universal story. And yet, you know, a lot of us might think, oh, I have nothing to say, or, you know, there's nothing that significant that I could share with a loved one in an interview like this. But you'd be surprised,
yeah,
wouldn't
wrong.
You? Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, we hear that. I've been on book tour for the last month, and I meet a lot of people from the book. And, you know, so many people who are, you know, in this book and have these remarkable stories say they have nothing to say. That, you know, I remember I was in Boston a couple of weeks ago, and there's a story. I don't know if you have tape of this, but it's a remarkable story. It's a woman who had, as a 9-year-old, she was diagnosed with bone cancer in her leg, and I saw her recently at an event, and she said, you know, when I was, I had two wishes. One was that I would live, and the other was that I would save my leg. And this was a time when she was growing up where something like 80 or 90% of the people who had Ewing sarcoma died. Mm-hmm. And she had a doctor named Dempsey Springfield who, starting at the age of 11, was operating on her leg. And he operated on her leg so many times they don't even know how many it is now, all the way until now, to save her leg. And he saved her leg. And in this interview in the book, she talks about how they talked together. She took him to StoryCorps to interview him, and they talked together about how she never thought anyone would marry her because of the baggage that she had with her leg and her cancer. And this interview was recorded 2 weeks after her wedding. And at her wedding, this doctor, Dr. Dempsey Springfield, got the first dance. Mm-hmm. It was the first wedding he'd ever been to of a patient of his. And when I went to an event and Dempsey Springfield was there, he said, I didn't do anything. This is all about her. I don't have anything. You know, I'm nothing special. I'm just doing my job. So a lot of people feel like they don't have anything to say, but we all do.
And I don't have that tape right now, but I do have Monica in Greenfield with us. Hi, Monica.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for this great program. The person that I'm more thankful to right now is my friend Anne. This week, I got a call from the doctor saying that my blood marker is normal. After 2 years, I had surgery. I was really sick. I couldn't figure out what it was. And Anne kept on pushing me for a diagnosis. What did the doctor say? What is going on? What are your labs saying? And I got to the point that I was ready to give up, but I wouldn't because I was ashamed to tell her that they couldn't find anything. So I kept on pushing because she was pushing for that. And they found an ovarian tumor. I had surgery, and I just was told this week that my markers are perfect. So that's the friend that I would like to interview and ask her, why wouldn't she give up on me?
Go, please do it. What a wonderful story. She saved your life.
She did. She saved your life, Monica, and I'm so glad that that you shared that. And thanks for sharing, and thanks to Anne.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. Let's, before news time, go to Madeline in Wapaka. Hello, Madeline.
Hello. I don't know how I come to think of it, but in 1974, I tape recorded my father, who was born and raised on the Oneida Indian Reservation, and that was the year before he died. And he was born in 1905, so of course he had a lot of memories to tell about the changes that took place on the reservation in those years. And then I realized the importance of that, so I went on to record a number of prominent Oneidas before they passed away, including my aunt Irene Moore, who was the first woman chairman of the Oneida tribe, and Anna John, who the nursing home in Oneida was named after her. And I turned all those recordings into the Oneida Cultural Heritage Department.
Well, that was wonderful, Madeline. And you were, she was ahead of her time,
absolutely,
David.
So glad you did that.
Yeah, what we have just a minute, Madeline. Mm-hmm. You recorded your father because you just thought it would be good to collect that oral history.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and what did you ask him?
Well, he told everything from when he was a little boy, things that happened in his life all through the years. And in the end of the recording, I asked him who had the most influence on your life, and he said something in Oneida, and I said, "Who is that?" And he said, "My wife." He says, she taught me everything. My mother was a very courageous woman because my father had been injured when he's in his 30s, and he was paralyzed on his left side, but he could still walk and drive. But my mother carried on with 7 children.
Wow. And it must be precious to have recorded those memories for you. Thank you very much, Madeline. We have news from NPR coming up and Wisconsin Public Radio. And then we will continue talking about the National Day of Listening and the importance of collecting these stories. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Today is the National Day of Listening. Who in your life has a story to tell? Who in your life would you like to interview and save that interview, record that interview for posterity? Maybe it's someone in your life who you are most grateful for, who made a big difference in your life, who rescued you, who taught you an important lesson. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Friday, November 29th. We would like to hear from you this hour. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Who would you want to record and why? What would you ask this person? We are finding out the importance of listening and of collecting the stories of the people that we know and love, finding out how we can do this, and welcoming your questions and your stories. Our guest is David Isay, founder of StoryCorps, an ongoing oral history project behind this National Day of Listening effort. He is author of The Ties That Bind, Stories of Love and Gratitude from the First 10 Years of StoryCorps. And you can hear a special on the 10th anniversary of StoryCorps, The Ties That Bind, tonight at 6 on the Ideas Network. So you can tune in for that. You know, we do have other callers, but also some wonderful examples of these stories that were recorded, David. I wanted to share the story of the gay grandmother. Do you have a little background on that one?
Sure. Mm. Also a story from our new book. This is a granddaughter who took her grandmother to StoryCorps. It was actually the little girl's bat mitzvah. And her step-grandmother, whose name is Jenna, the little girl's name is MJ, is her poker partner and also is a lesbian. And in Virginia, the granddaughter wanted to take her step-grandma to StoryCorps to talk and to thank her.
Is there anything that you've never told me but you want to tell me now?
You know, you and I talk about most things. But this is the first time that we've ever talked about the fact that I'm gay. And I guess what I want to ask you is, does it embarrass you to have a gay grandma?
No.
No.
It doesn't really matter because it just matters my relationship with you.
I always tell you how much I love you, but I don't know that you can really understand the depth of it because you're someone that I never thought would be in my life, and I can't imagine my life without you. you have always been a child that makes up her own mind, and I am so, so proud of you.
Well, you're one of my favorite grandmas. You do, like, a lot of things with me, like ride roller coasters and play booger. I don't know what life would be like without you here.
I love you, sweetheart.
Love you, too.
Okay, so I can't talk now, David.
Wow, that was the emotional part of the interview. But you know it's fascinating to hear the grandmother talk to her granddaughter about growing up and feeling like she was never going to be loved by anybody and feeling so alone. You know, and I guess I feel like one of the messages of StoryCorps is that you aren't alone. You know, and that all of us have whatever it is that makes us feel alone, and we're not. You know, if we've done 10 years of StoryCorps, recorded all these many tens of thousands of interviews, and if it's changed me in any single way, I think it's made me kind of more hopeful about people, about life, about this country, you know, and the stories like that one, stories of connection and just the, you know, who we really are as Americans, which I don't think is necessarily what you get watching 24-hour news or, you know, reading your web feeds, you know, there are these other stories that are, as I said, that are just all around us that I think are the stories that really matter.
Yeah, and I, you know, as somebody who did not do this with some loved ones, my grandparents or even parents before they passed, it is so important to have that oral history. And I could see somebody right now this weekend, a grandson or granddaughter bringing grandpa or grandmother into a room and turn off the TV and just talk and ask questions, get grandma's or grandpa's story about what? What would you advise, David?
Well, I mean, it's completely what people want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you ask about why it's important to have a microphone, I mean, I think that while you can certainly do this with a pencil and paper or just have a conversation, there is something, as you know, about the microphone giving you the license to ask questions you don't normally get to ask. I mean, obviously, we just heard a pretty extreme example of that with the granddaughter and grandmother who'd never talked about the grandma being gay before. It doesn't have to be kind of that level of not having been talked about before, but with the facilitators who are present and bear witness to these tens of thousands of interviews will always tell people when they go into a StoryCorps interview to start with the question that you've always wanted to ask, because the time goes by so fast. So I think you want to think about what it is you really want to know about this person. You can go to our website, the National Day of Listening website, and find the 10 most popular questions and hundreds of others, but honestly, they don't really matter. It's what you want to know. And the important thing for me, for StoryCorps, I mean, I certainly think that the posterity piece of this is important, but even more important is connecting with someone. You know, I think that there's something very much about StoryCorps speaks to our mortality in many ways, and obviously it keeps coming up, you know, in the phone calls we're getting and, you know, the conversation we're having. And I think of when in hospice, there's this tradition where the hospice workers will talk about the four things you want to say to someone before they die, for to have a sense of closure with someone. And they're thank you, I love you, forgive me, I forgive you, and then finally goodbye. And in many ways, I think what happens with StoryCorps is it gives us the opportunity to have these conversations with people when, you know, hopefully they're not dying, you know, at least not dying, you know, in the moment, since all of us, that's one thing they're never going to be able to find a cure for. But it gives you a chance to say those things and ask those things and connect in a way that is almost sacred. And it may not even feel that way in the moment. But I can tell you from the experience of having, you know, run this organization and listened to so many and broadcast so many and recorded so many, that there is something sacred about this and that you will never regret doing an interview like this.
Carrie in Wauwatosa is with us. Hello, Carrie.
Hello, how are you?
Good. I understand that you participated in a StoryCorps process.
I did. I was fortunate enough to get a last-minute appointment when the booth was at Central Library in downtown Milwaukee. And I brought my father in. My parents divorced when I was six, in an age where people didn't divorce. And I lived primarily with my mother. So there were a lot of things I didn't know about my dad. And you mentioned earlier, David, asking the hardest question first.
Yep.
I was far too nervous to do that. The interesting thing about our experience was at first I was a little nervous about having someone else in the booth with us, but within 2 minutes it was like that person wasn't even there. And Dad and I talked about the mundane things first, his childhood. He had a very interesting childhood considering he was born in 1939. He moved cross-country like three times, which, you know, in that era very rarely happened. We talked about his wonderful parents who were so dear to me and, you know, are now no longer with us. And then I asked the tough question. My sister Lisa died before I was born, and no one ever talks about her, and no one ever said anything about exactly what happened. So it was the first time that I heard exactly what happened to Lisa. They were playing cards at a friend's house and had her sleeping on the master bed, and when they went in to get her, she was dead. I had a chance to ask my father about the divorce and what that felt like and why it happened. And it was really a case of two people who married very young and grew in different directions and no longer had anything in common, particularly since they never grieved Lisa together.
Oh.
And the experience for me and for my dad was one of bonding. We're both criers. We both cried a lot in the booth. But it was just, it was such a great chance to bond with my dad and have some time alone with my dad. And as I get older, my dad and his wife have become increasingly supportive and loving and caring. And frankly, my husband and I are having a very, very difficult time right now financially. And if it weren't for my dad and my stepmother, there's no way we'd make it. Okay. And we're so close now. And we weren't for so long. And StoryCorps was just such a great catalyst to start having those important conversations.
Wow.
My day. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to hear that.
I am,
and
too.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. And even though you did an interview with him, you know, today might be a great day just to call him and thank him for what he's done.
Carrie, thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving. We are talking with David Isay. He is the founder of StoryCorps, which is the oral history project behind the National Day of Listening, which is today. When you are encouraged over the holidays to interview a family member or a loved one or a friend, and ask them the questions that you have always wanted to ask them, and record the conversation and save the conversation. So we wonder who it is you would want to interview. Who is it that you're most grateful for that you would want to sit down and record an interview with? 1-800-642-1234. What would you ask this person? Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We're talking with David Isay, who is the founder of StoryCorps, author of The Ties That Bind, Stories of Love and Gratitude from the First 10 Years of StoryCorps, talking with him about the National Day of Listening, which is today. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And we need to go to John in Port Wing, who has a story to tell or has a person he would like to interview. Hi, John. Thank you so much for waiting.
Yes. That was, Russians, Soviet Union occupied Baltic states. I was born in Lithuania. That happened in Lithuania. and I was in Lithuanian Army. And the war started June 22nd. I was on duty, you know, a teletype. We were in forest surrounded by Russian troops. But the main thing is, after being Germans, you know, I went to make the story short. The main point I want to stress, the value of foreign language. But when I became prisoner, you know, the Germans, now we start, we were supposed to get the train to come us, to take us to Vilnius. But the train didn't show up, we start marching. You know, you walk for 45 minutes, and then we take a break. It was hot, sunny, you know, the people, sunstroke and everything. But anyway, and one of those stops, I laid in a ditch, you know, like a nice chair, you know. Put my feet up and down, and I went to sleep. All the column went out, and I heard the German holler at me, "Was machst du hier?" You know.
What does that mean, John?
He says, what you doing here, you know? And he's got a rifle pointed. I can feel it between my eyes, you know, right in my forehead.
Scary.
And I said, Martin, nicht schießen. I said, wait, don't shoot. I'm not Russian. I'm Lithuanian. Oh, he says, sprichst du Deutsch? And that's the moment he saved my life. And I am thanked for my education because I could speak German.
Oh, my goodness, John. You know, I'm glad you shared that story. So you almost got shot by a German soldier in World War II, but because you knew the language, he did not shoot you.
Don't shoot. I'm not Russian. You know?
Yeah.
And he didn't shoot. And then I told him we had no food and everything. He was my age. I took his bicycle. You know, he was kind of loner, enjoying nature. He gave me a sandwich. You know, I told him it for 3 days and then I had no food.
Yeah.
He
John, what would you like to talk? What would you, if you had,
I wonder, did he survive the war or not?
Yeah.
Like, I survived. But I wonder, did he saved my life? He didn't shoot me. I wonder, did he survive?
Yeah. Well, David, a reaction to that story.
Well, you know, it's funny. We've got a military initiative now. And this is actually focused on post 9/11 vets and families and active duty for Afghanistan and Iraq wars. And so many times with these interviews, we hear from people. I mean, this conversation. If I had a penny for every one of these conversations, someone will tell a remarkable story. And you ask, have you ever told this before? The answer is no. Why not? Because nobody ever asked. If I had a penny for every incident like that, you know, we would have a large endowment at StoryCorps. So, the trick is in the asking and giving people the opportunity to tell these stories and talk about it. And what a remarkable story! And I'm glad you spoke German, and I'm glad that you're alive. It makes me think of a story that from StoryCorps that we actually animated, of a guy who talks about being in World War II and it very similar. You know, there was a kid who was just his age, a German kid, and he had to shoot this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about still dreaming about it to this day, every night dreaming about that kid that he had to shoot. So, you know, it's part of what happens with StoryCorps is we get a on the ground, bottom up, as Studs Terkel used to say, bottom up history of the, you know, the great historic events like wars to really give us a sense of what it's like to be there.
John, thank you so much, and happy Thanksgiving to you. An email from Walter, who writes, about 6 months before he passed away, I interviewed Berkey founder Dave Landgraf about his experience in the first American Birkebeiner, a cross-country ski race. Dave was a remarkable athlete and continued to finish in the top 200 of the Berkey even at his retirement age. He was killed when he was struck by a car while riding his bicycle. I was able to send the recording of that interview to his family. That's wonderful. Sad, but it's good that he was able to do that. Maggie in Bloomer is with us. Hello, Maggie.
Hi. I don't have a sad story to tell, but I have a question. My son and daughter took me to Eau Claire to the Phillips Senior Center in 2008 to record some of my stories. And I was wondering, is there a way to access for my granddaughters in Hawaii and in California for them to access this information?
Was it part of StoryCorps?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I have the VCRs.
You have the DVD. You have the CD.
Of it, and it was StoryCorps, and in 2008 at the Phillips. I think my children thought I was pretty close to the end, but
I have to say, StoryCorps stories are not they're by no means all sad stories.
Right.
And it's just life. Some of which is funny, and some of which is sad and difficult and wonderful, and all that. So if you did record with StoryCorps, if you've lost the CD, you can get in touch with our office, and we can send you another one, or you can make a copy of the CD that you have. Within the next couple of years, we are going to make the archive public on the Internet for people who want their CD, to want their interview public, and you'll be able to share it that way. But for the time being, you can certainly make a copy and send it to your relatives, or ask us if you don't have a copy to send another copy.
Yeah, thank you, Maggie. We're running very short on time. If people participate in this National Day of Listening and record their own stories with loved ones, don't you have a wall of listening where people can post?
So you can, if you go on the national, if you audio make an audio recording of your interview, we have a on our website. We give folks the ability to upload that story. Again, it doesn't go to the Library of Congress, but it does go on the web and in our National Day of Listening archive, and it's accessible, and people can listen to these interviews. So yes, and that's at nationaldayoflistening.org.
And in our final less than a minute, David, maybe a reminder as to why we might want to participate in this Day of Listening anytime throughout the holidays.
Or anytime.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that every call we've had and every moment of our conversation hopefully speaks to that. Again, you know, we live in a time when things are going so fast, and we're surrounded by so much nonsense and phoniness. And I think what happens in these StoryCorps interviews is that it's an opportunity to be to have a really authentic moment with another human being face to face, and to tell people what they mean to us by asking them questions, important questions, questions that matter to you, and letting them have the chance and the space to give the answers. And, you know, I think we're talking about, it's such a kind of unlikely project for this era, because it's about permanence and face-to-face communication and so forth. But, you know, technology, for all of its wonders, I think there are certain answers that it can never give us, and those are the answers you can get from StoryCorps.
Thank you very much for being with us, David, and we'll listen for your special tonight at 6 on the Ideas Network. David Isay is the author of The Ties That Bind and the founder of StoryCorps.